And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
My guest today is Winky LaForce, and she is the executive director of Leadership Triangle for good reason. Winky, you have an outstanding background, part of which includes Olympic involvement. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. During the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, I was one of the directors of the sports department. And the sports department interfaced a lot with the international federations just to make sure that all the specifications of the sport and the venue were coded to international requirements. So it was a great job. I was the only woman in the sports department as a director, which is kind of a claim to fame.
Yep, absolutely.
And many times we had to run around the entire organization and remind everybody it was a sporting event, because believe it or not, when you put on an Olympic Games, there's probably close to 25, 30 different departments, from food and beverage to security to technology to venue to opening and closing ceremonies. And really what has to happen is everything has to interface together in order for it to be successful. So one of my jobs really was to help the sports department interface with television, with the venues, with technology. So there was a lot of cross connections there. And it gave lots of opportunities for leadership, believe me.
Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. Anytime you work across multiple venues, there's right. lots of opportunity for leadership. So take us from that point to now with Leadership Triangle. And can you tell us a little bit about what Leadership Triangle is about?
Sure. Leadership Triangle actually was started back in 1992 through the Triangle Community Foundation. It was sort of a branch of that through a Bank of America grant. And what was so amazing back in 1992 is this group of people got together and thought it was very important to have a leadership program that looked at the region as a whole. Okay. You have Leadership Chapel Hill Carver, you have Leadership Raleigh, you have Leadership Durham, you have Leadership Cary, which are all great, and they're city-centric, and they teach the individuals who move into those communities about that community. But back in 92, there was a group of people that felt it was really important back then to start looking at the triangle as a region, and to see what are the resources, the opportunities, et cetera, that will help the region as they move forward into the 21st century. So back then, there was just one class, and it was the regional class that brought people from Durham, Orange, Wake, and Chatham counties together, and they would go to different communities and have the classes and look at tribal-wide issues that they could solve together.
That is quite a vision. And if I'm not mistaken, it sounds like this area has had a lot of visionary people, because I thought Research Triangle Park came out of the vision of a few people.
It did. And basically, the park was really based on the three universities as well. So people that come into Leadership Triangle, and back then and even now, are people that really see the importance of working together. Certainly not losing the individual personalities of Hillsboro, Cary, Raleigh, Durham, Pittsboro, Chapel Hill, because I believe really in my heart of hearts that the choices people are able to make when they move to the area is one of our huge strengths.
Absolutely.
But the importance of working together on transportation, clean air, clean water, immigration, economic development, bringing businesses into the area, the arts. So that's what Leadership Triangle does. Now, we just yesterday graduated a class of 23 folks from Durham, Orange, Wake, and Chatham County, and that was our regional class. 9 years ago, we also started a leadership development class, which we'll have again this fall, and that is when an individual applies with a certain role or a certain project where they have to gain followers, which is, you know, one of the definitions of leadership. And our little definition is gain willing followers when the path is unknown.
Oh, and I like that.
Yeah, so the individuals, this is much more internal, mm-hmm. and we meet in one location. For the last couple of years, we've been meeting at the RBC Center in Raleigh, and we have leadership coaches. And 2.5 hours of every single class, you're in a small group with four other people and your leadership coach talking about that project or role whereby you must gain followers. And then each class has a type of theme, whether it be how do we get together and create a shared vision, or another class might be how do we enable other people to act, or another class might be how do we challenge and take risks in our job. And whatever that theme is, in the morning time, we all get together, and there's only 20 people in the class because we want to keep the ratio of coach to participants 5-1.
Okay.
We do some sort of activity that goes along with the theme. If we have a speaker that day, then we always have the speaker speak to that theme. For instance, every single year, Bob Ingram, who used to be with GlaxoSmithKline and now is the owner of the Ingram Collection, he always speaks about how do you lead from the heart. And he talks about the merging of different companies and how important it is to really consider everybody's position, everybody's heart, basically, mm-hmm. when you're bringing two companies together. He doesn't come in and just talk about what it was like to work at Glaxo. And so we have the speaker in the morning, we have an activity in the morning, and then, like I say, in the afternoon, we go into a 2.5 session with a leadership coach. So it's very, very relevant to the individual. Then they go off for 2 weeks and come back. And they report in, how'd you do for the last 2 weeks?
So they use the strategies they were taught?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. And so we don't do Myers-Briggs. We don't do that type of skill assessment. Right. We really take the individual from where they are and what they want to gain. And basically what we hear a lot when the program is over was, I really have gained so much confidence and I have found my voice. So that's kind of a trend of things that we hear. And because they have really successfully found a way to gain willing followers in a certain situation that's relevant to them. So it's been very, very successful. And we just had a planning session a couple weeks ago, starting to plan for this September. Then we also have a great class, which is our college edition, where we take two students. They're either sophomores or juniors from every college, university, and community college, and we bring them together. We're told by the schools that we're the only organization that brings all the schools together. That's mm-hmm. your gals from Peace and Meredith and,
right.
and your big university, Central, Duke, Carolina State, your two community colleges, Durham Tech and Wake Tech, and then St. Augs and Shaw. And we put them through a series of classes, which is leadership development, but it's also learning about the community and the region. And so it's really kind of a combination of our other two classes. And then our final class is for CEOs and their spouses or partners who come together 5 different times over about a 7-month period. And they have to be kind of new to the area within the last couple years. And the reason we do that class is really to help to let them network with other folks in like positions. So we find so often when people move here, starting a new job, they're in such a silo. And again, mm-hmm. we want to encourage the cooperation and the communication amongst the different counties. And so that we bring them together. Jim Goodman, who is our chair emeritus, and okay. he's passionate about regionalism, the president and CEO of Capital Broadcasting Company.
Yep.
He always kicks that program. He's sort of the chairman of, he's the chair of that committee, of that class series. He kicks it off, he and Barbara Goodman at their home. And people like Dr. Victor Zhao and his wife, when they first moved to the area, they were in it. Another person who was in it was Charlie Nelm, Chancellor of Central, and his wife when they first moved to the area. So we have 4 very distinct classes, and they go from the college age all the way through middle and upper managers to our CEO level. The other thing that's kind of neat, I think, in both our leadership development class and our regional class is the ages range from 30 to 70.
Okay.
And we mix all the ages up. The average, I think, age is probably mostly people in their 40s and 50s. But we relish and we love it when we have people in their 30s in the class. And we love it when there's people in their 50s, 60s. And like I said, our Our oldest one was a county commissioner, and she was in her 70s when she graduated.
Oh.
So that was really cool. Yeah, we all learned so much from each other.
Absolutely. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking with Winky about servant leadership.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. We are talking with Winky LaForce. She is the Executive Director of Leadership Triangle. And one of the things that she is an expert on is servant leadership. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think that in this day and age, there's no question about leadership is changing and needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think servant leadership is a phrase that was coined by Robert Greenleaf in his essay, The Servant as Leader, that he published back in 1970. But basically, the idea is that a servant leader, unlike a self-serving leader, is one that wants all the team, everybody that they are leading to succeed, wants to empower the people on their team or in their organization.
So their goal is to give others power.
Absolutely. They're very reoriented. They feel that they welcome feedback. They don't get defensive about feedback.
Feedback being, I don't like this, I did like that.
Or I care, yeah. Can we do this better? They look at feedback as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They're the type of leader that will look to everyone and try to and listen really well and try to find the strengths of the different individuals. I think with the way we have technology nowadays, which isolates people so, and globalization, where people oftentimes are doing jobs with folks on the other side of the world, this type of leadership is really important because we really have more than ever, I think, to draw upon ourselves mm-hmm. and to find strength within ourselves. And the servant leadership is the type of leadership that helps people to look within themselves and say, what am I good at? And then gives them the opportunity to lead in that way. So servant leaders really, I think, perpetuate other servant leaders when they're
mm-hmm.
doing a good job.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They play
off because
of each other.
They really encourage a person to stand up, take responsibility. They try to catch them when they're doing something right, encourage it, and make them very inclusive. I think the one thing that a servant leader has to always be conscious of is never being, how can I say, that they know everything. In other words, it's got to be very, I think, very horizontal and not vertical. In the old days, you heard of the boss. And the
right.
boss said something and everybody followed. And the boss said something else and everybody followed. And there was, if you disagreed, you didn't often pipe up and say, well, I don't really think this is right. I mean, it was much more, all right, we'll do what the boss says. I need my job and I go home. Well, life's so different now. And yep. especially with the young entrepreneurs that have 4, 5, 6 jobs before, or companies
right.
before they're 30 years old, they would not hack that kind of organization. So I do think in today's world that the servant leadership is really important. I almost equate it to a coach on a sports team. If you think of our coaches, our basketball coaches, our football coaches, our field hockey coaches, their job really is to try to find the best in every one of their players and then meshing them all together. As you all, you know, the old saying that Dean Smith never wanted a superstar on his team. He wanted to have all the players. And Roy Williams does the same, and Coach K does the same, and Karen Shelton. You know, they want to have great players with a lot of potential and a lot of ability, but they have to blend in with the rest. So I see the servant leader oftentimes very much kind of in the role of like a coach.
It sounds like a nurturing.
Yes, I think there's very much nurturing and servant leadership. I think there's very much, again, empowering. I keep going back to the word empower.
Mm-hmm. You're giving them the power mm-hmm. and making it internal.
Right. And, you know, I have done this type of training really in many different venues. But just to give you an example of one, I go to Africa mm-hmm. pretty frequently, and I went to the deep bush of Ghana.
Okay.
And there the men and the women have very different roles. You know,
mm-hmm.
men are the leaders in the church, et cetera, et cetera. And the women are quite subservient, and they, you know, are in the kitchen, et cetera, or in their huts making the food. And there was this big meeting, and this woman named Stella was doing all the cooking. And when she finished, and all the people from different villages came, and they were eating that night.
Wait a minute. There was one woman doing all the cooking for all these people?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then she had other women coming and helping.
Okay.
Other women, though. And so, but she was the leader. She was definitely the leader that night. And so then the next morning, they were all going to get up and have their meeting at the church. And again, this is the deep bush of Ghana. And I kind of stopped everything. And I
said, how did that go over?
Well, because first of all, I could get away with it because I kind of made a joke out of it.
Okay.
But what came out loud and clear, and it followed over the next day, was if it weren't for Stella, everybody would be, and her helpers, everybody mm-hmm. would be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what would it be like if you were hungry? And they said, well, we couldn't concentrate, da-da-da-da-da. But basically what I was doing, and it worked really well, was empowering and recognizing that Stella had a really important job.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, she was the leader. And they got it. They really got it. And what did they end up doing? They ended up thanking her, which doesn't usually happen. You know, mm-hmm. these people don't get acknowledged for that kind of work. The next day, somebody stood up again, one of the men, and said, I want to, again, thank Stella and all the women for preparing the food. And they were laughing. They said, our stomachs are full. But, you know, it was definitely servant leadership in that it was horizontal. She just beamed. I mean, she...
Yeah, she's finally recognized.
So good to be recognized and to feel part of the team. So it actually encouraged them the next day. They couldn't wait to start making food again because they wanted to get pregnant again. So it worked really well. It really did. So I think this type of leadership can, you know, be done all over the place and in many different situations.
Well, it sounds like what you were doing in Africa was to increase people's awareness of how reliant they were on others around them as well.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And how at different times, different people step up and are leaders. And, you know, she was the leader in the kitchen that day, that evening. The next day, we had church leaders that stood up and did their roles. We had a woman that swept the church. You know, that was important. You know, she was leading and sweeping the church.
Mm-hmm.
But at different times, people rise and they're the leaders. And then they, you know, and then other people are. But how important it is that no matter what these people are doing, you know, you try to catch that, compliment them, be very, very specific, just not say,
right.
Oh, it was nice that Stella did the food. I mean, it was very nice Stella prepared. Stella prepared the yam, she prepared the chicken, she did this, you know, and make it very specific. And I just think that it really encourages people to excel and whatever it is that they're doing, because they're proud of it and they've been recognized.
And not only recognized, but recognized in front of their peers.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not a private compliment. It is it's a very powerful compliment because it's out there for everyone to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about that. That's really important.
So one of the things I like to do is kind of take these concepts and help us figure out how to use them in our lives. So it sounds like one of the things that is a takeaway for me and hopefully for others is when you find somebody doing something right, make sure you recognize it and try to do so in a way that is around other people who can also then compliment them or recognize the role that they have in making the contribution they're making.
Right, and be really specific about what it is they're doing and not just like, oh, you did a good job.
Right, because that's too broad.
Exactly was that good job? What are the skills that you had that you've obviously excelled in in order to do that job? And how important that is part of the whole. Your piece is a really important part of the whole. And how does that fit into it? And you're absolutely right to do it in front of people. And another thing I did, again, back to this time in Nairobi, was something as simple as a brag board, where I took over little post-its, which they had never seen before. And just to have them on a wall be able to write down, I thank so-and-so for doing this and putting it up. It's called a brag board.
Yep.
And they just loved it. They loved writing it about somebody, and then they loved reading
it
something
about
them. And you can do that in any situation. You know, there's many different ways that we can be acknowledging and thanking people in our church place, in our workplace, and, you know, even in our homes. But certainly take time to celebrate your accomplishments. And I don't think that's done enough. And again, I think for the servant leader to say, okay, you know, this day we're all going to get together and have lunch and we're going to talk about what, you know, what we've just accomplished, and then get specific with people. Because again, it's just human nature. People want to be stroked and they want to have something, especially if they worked hard for it, and especially if they've done something good, they want to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just lots of opportunities, I think, that don't cost money and don't, you know, don't take a whole lot of effort, little notes here, little notes there, a little email here, that, you know, even went out to the whole staff about so-and-so doing something, and we appreciate it. That's all really good characteristics, I think, of somebody who's a servant leader. Who is conscious of doing that all the time.
And creating opportunities to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
To just kind of piggyback on that, when I've led retreats for the youth at our church, one of the things that I do is have them write a note to another youth about something they enjoyed about a weekend. And it's interesting to see how reinforced and how much the person, the receiver, beams when they receive it, but also the person giving it gets a lot of personal satisfaction from realizing how happy they've made another person.
Isn't that the truth? Absolutely. Yeah. It really is a win-win, because if you're telling someone something and to see their expression on their face of happiness, it goes right back to you.
Mm-hmm. It's a what a great reflection.
Yeah, it is a great reflection. So it really does, you know, work both ways. I think a servant leader also has to be somewhat of a risk taker, because they have to have the ability to let people sometimes stumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to give up control. They can't control everything. They have to let people, in order for people to grow,
absolutely,
and to bloom, they have to let people take some risk, which might mean sometimes, you know, in their situation, their company, you know, whatever it might be. Obviously, you have to monitor those risks. They can't be huge monetary risks, but I think a servant leader has to be comfortable enough with themselves that they are able to then let other people try some new ideas that are presented, you know, that allow the person to be creative. But again, that's a bit risky. And the other thing, I think a servant leader has got to be a great role model.
Mm-hmm.
They have to walk the walk.
Have the integrity. Yeah.
They really do. They have to have the people are going to be watching them all the time. Especially if somebody is told they can take a risk and it's a little scary to them. The servant leader has to encourage that person, but in all areas, you know, the servant leader really has to walk the walk, I believe.
They do, and I'd like to just comment on that, and then we'll take a break. But the comment I have for that is I work, as many people know, I work at East Chapel Hill High School as a school counselor, and one of the best parenting models I see is the servant leader model you were just referring to on many levels. One, there's a constant reinforcement that the parents are pointing out when the kids are doing something right. Mm-hmm. There is an absolute no-nonsense approach to the student taking responsibility for different things. But there is also a, you know, a strong safety net, but it's pretty low. So if a student, an empowered student, feels like they can fall down, maybe even get hurt a little bit, but has the wherewithal to get back up, and the parent is there coaching but not fighting the battle, not the one who's on the front lines. They're sending their child on the front line to learn how to live, basically, mm-hmm. and to have those experiences. And it's interesting because I was having this conversation right before we got here about the difference you see in the students and their readiness to accept college and the readiness mm-hmm. to go out into the world and to become the entrepreneur or to take the risk. They've already taken a lot of risks if their parents have let them mm-hmm. in the home. So they have a sense of themselves, which is so,
yep. you know,
to your point, so growth-inducing and so very important. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to listen to some members of our community from all ages tell us what they think about leaders.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. Now let's hear from members of our community about what they think about leadership.
Hugh, age 8. I think a leader is someone who is a boss.
My name is Jemonae Barrington, and I'm a senior at East Chapel Hill High School, and I believe that a leader is someone who has a positive influence on others and sets examples that will help others later down the road.
Hi, my name is Taylor Fields, and I'm 17 years old, and I think a leader is someone that takes initiative of a situation.
Michelle Hansen, 59 years old. I work at East Chapel Hill High School in North Carolina. What is a leader? Somebody that has a lot of charisma, that attracts people of all kinds to hopefully lead them to do good for the community or their school, for the environment, and thinking positive and taking a whole bunch of people with them.
And Winky, let's just have your input. You have worked with so many different organizations, and you have seen how people call out the leaders. I know one of the terms I frequently hear is the boss. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the old term of the boss is, when I hear the word the boss, I kind of cringe a little bit mm-hmm. because I think of a self-serving leader as okay. opposed to a servant leader.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear of the boss, somebody who's very eye-oriented, who's just driven by self-interest, who praises people and things, but for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
So usually that person isn't very authentic, which is really too bad because they might try to be authentic. But people can really, I think, see through folks,
mm-hmm.
especially people that aren't authentic. So the boss in the old context is someone who really doesn't care as much about the people, but more about how the organization is going to do the bottom line, make money. People are just kind of there as pawns.
Mm-hmm.
I think the boss from the old term is somebody who does not really appreciate feedback. As a matter of fact,
no.
It's threatening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's someone who I think when things are going well, they tend to go, oh, didn't I do a good
yeah.
job? And when things are not going well, they go,
what a good boy am I.
What did you all do wrong? You know?
Right.
So I really think that term, the boss, is has a bad connotation. I think that people, and again, I go back to, we are hit with so much information so fast.
Yes.
That, and again, with the technology, the way things are changing just so drastically, that kind of hierarchical paradigm just doesn't get it anymore. It's sort of the energy starts at the top.
Yeah.
And, in goes and it flows up to the boss, and we need to turn that upside down. We need, you know, we need the energy in a group to go down and across to the individuals. I think it's sort of interesting that I read this somewhere that a servant leader, as a baby, we all start sort of as a self-serving leader, if you can call it that, as self-serving.
Absolutely, right.
Although babies do have leadership skills when they get to a certain age, and they certainly can manipulate their mom and dad.
They can.
They learn that so early.
Right.
But they start as self-serving. And I think that they move from a self-serving heart to a serving heart. And as you get older, you realize that life, what life's about, and that, you know, you really would rather give more than what you get. And I think it's kind of interesting to think that babies really don't start out like that, but as you get older and older, you realize that the self-serving doesn't cut it. People just don't respect it. Well, people don't feel good about being around the old-fashioned boss.
Well, there's a fear component there. There's
definitely a fear component. Yeah. A component is stifling. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
You don't want to try new things because you may be criticized in front of other people, too, which can be humiliating. The old boss, I don't think, listens very well. Certainly doesn't try to pull people out and their strengths out, but maybe jumps all over them, especially, you know, if they do have some weaknesses. So luckily, I think that things are changing, mm-hmm. and that idea of the old boss. And I think also it was a little bit different back then because people would stay in a job.
That's
jobs
true.
Jobs were different.
They'd You're
stay
right.
in a job for 30 years.
You're right.
And they would put in their time.
They were career.
They were career. They put in their time. They got their paycheck, and then they went home.
Yep.
And basically, that paycheck was supporting their families, and life was different back then. And they were, you know, I think nowadays people, because they have the computer at home, the computer's up all the time, you know, it's not like a 9-to-5 job anymore where people go to work at 9, they leave at 5, then they don't even think about their job until the next day. And now, you know, I don't know about you, but my computer's up all the time. And, you know, I'll walk by it and check it on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, things you could do things virtually, and so it's just a different scene. So luckily, I think the idea of the boss is getting less and less that role. I also think too that, like I said earlier, because people work in isolation a lot because of the computer and the technology, I think that people are really need a servant leader to help them, encouraging them to find themselves, to find their own purpose in their life, which a boss didn't have time to do. You know, it was just running the company and getting these people in and out and getting, like I say, the bottom line met. So I think that the servant leader is needed much more now than it was back then, because people really need to be encouraged to find their own purpose in life.
And to your point, and what I hear you saying is a good leader is someone who is out there building. They're building up other people. They're building a community. They're building an organization. And they're full of integrity. They're very authentic.
Yeah.
And I just would like to throw this out. One of the schools that I worked in before here was a military school in the D.C. area. And I had my own vision of what military leadership was like, and I was shocked to see how servant-based it's become. It is very different than the model you're talking about, which is what I think of where the boss gives an instruction. Now, there is a component of that because in certain situations you absolutely need a fully functioning hierarchy, but there's a lot more feedback now. The people are trained a lot more to receive feedback, and it's just a very different they're trying to adapt to the 21st century, as you were saying.
Well, yeah, and I think that any big institution like that, whether it be the military or whether it be churches, just big institutions have got to adapt or they won't survive.
Yeah.
You know, if they want
the next generation
to embrace them, they're certainly not going to embrace them based on their former structures, you know.
Right.
When it would be, you know, the boss mindset, you know, do this, do that, and just obey the orders. And I think that, you know, again, it goes back to the younger generation, the 20-somethings. In order to entice those folks to be part of your organization, I think you need to really adapt to their way of living.
Mm-hmm. It's very
their
different.
Their way of learning,
yeah.
But the way they learn and the way they live.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely more important than ever to listen to those youngsters. And I'm talking about, you know, teenagers, the people mm-hmm. in their 20s now, much like you were describing
yeah.
in East Chapel Hill High. You know, and just when they're doing something right, encourage it, catch mm-hmm. it, praise them, you know, publicly, because they just don't get enough opportunity. You don't get enough
right.
opportunities even to do that, again, because of the way we're set up in our society now with the email and the Skyping and everything else.
Constant stimulation. Well, Winky, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show. You have just provided such insights into servant leadership. And what I would also like to encourage people to do, if they want to learn more about Leadership Triangle, what do they need to do?
All they need to do is go to www.leadershiptriangle.com. Everything we do is electronic, and they can go right on there and check out the website, check out the next set of classes. We'll have information this summer, probably in July, on our leadership development class that we have in the fall. And the application will be online. We do charge tuition, but then we also have scholarships for nonprofits. We love it when elected officials and principals
mm-hmm.
Come in. We had 4 principals in our leadership development class last year, which was just terrific.
Oh, I bet.
It was so rich for the principals and so rich for the businesses and the nonprofits and the elected officials to be going through in small groups with the principals. I mean, it was really, we learned so much.
Oh, sure.
But the phone number also for Leadership Triangle is 919-433-1577. And I'd always love talking to people about Leadership Triangle and explaining the different classes. But again, everything is on our website, and I encourage people who want to help the region go into the 21st century like a sparklers
mm-hmm.
and improve the quality of life for everybody. We are
yeah.
very diverse because we're able to pull through from all 4 counties.
Mm-hmm.
Our diversity is one of the things I'm most proud of. I mean, very
Absolutely.
Diverse class. And so just to give us a call or send us an email and we'll get back with you.
Fabulous. We're going to end this show with one of my favorite quotes on servant leadership from Dr. King.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve.
Yes.
You only need a heart
yes,
full of grace.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Soul generated by love.
Yes.
And you can be that servant.
Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.